Welcome to the NDE 4.0 podcast, where we ask five questions for a NDE or NDT expert. This is the show for NDE professionals where we dig into the big questions about NDE inspections and digital transformation. Every episode, we ask a NDT expert five questions that can help you do your job better.
Today, we have Joop Kreising, president of Three Angles, on our conference today. And I'd like to welcome you. And could you provide a little background about your career with the NDE, please?
Absolutely, Bruce. Well, thanks for having me on the show. I listened to the previous couple of podcasts, and it's a very interesting topic, and hope to contribute a little bit in my way. So my name is Joop Kreising. I'm born and raised and educated in the Netherlands. I started my career in refrigeration and cooling, but switched quickly after that to energy, and in particular in power generation. So in 2003, I moved to the United States on a temporary assignment, and I guess I'm still here. But I started working for a Dutch company who specialized in consulting, engineering, testing, and inspection in everything related with power. So they would consult and inspect, you know, power generation plants, transmission and distribution infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And in 2003, I was asked, you know, if I was interested in helping them expand their business in the United States. And that's how I moved to the U.S. So around 2008, I got involved in non-destructive testing. You know, during my engineering, mm-hmm. and I got introduced a little bit, but in 2008, we were growing the business. We acquired an NDT company out of Schenectady, New York. So in that process, I became responsible for integrating that team in the bigger company. We had a group of NDT folks in the Netherlands, and now we have, you know, resources in the US. How could they work together, you know, share resources, knowledge, you know, technology, and provide services to our clients? Then in about 2012, that Dutch company was acquired by a larger company, and you know, soon it became clear that there was not much future for us in that new setting. And my wife and I, end of 2012, started Three Angles, and we acquired the NDT business through a management buyout from my previous employer. So in 2013, okay. That's really when Three Angles started. So it's kind of in a, you know, who are we? What is Three Angles? We are an NDT service provider. We own power generation, so we inspect, you know, steam turbines, generators, gas turbines, and all related components. Hands-on NDT, manual inspections to automated and robotics, all across the country and a little bit international.
Well, we have a great base of experience then to talk with our audience about. So, first of all, we're very happy since 2003, I think it was, that you stayed in the U.S. Sounds like a great move, and let's dig right into it with our first question. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let me pick up on the fact that you know, you own and operate a company, you know, in the power gen area for NDT. In our previous podcast, we've been talking at the industry level, some pretty cool high-level stuff, you know, with IoT and machine-to-machine learning and such. Now, as a business owner, I think what we're really looking to get at with our audience here is, what does NDE 4.0 mean to inspection companies and their customers? Can you reflect on that for a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did listen to the previous podcast, and I, you know, I met some of the speakers you had at conferences. So I got really introduced to the NDE 4.0 concept a couple of years ago, and but I was really asking myself, yeah, what does it mean for me, for my business, for my technicians, for my clients, right? So I kind of want to drill it down, like, maybe three things, right? So you can kind of look at my current services, and how can I quickly enhance already, you know, the services you offer with new technology? And an example I can give is, you know, we bought this new borescope that has Wi-Fi capabilities, right? So it's not really rocket science yet. It's just a borescope which has the capability to connect to the internet. So what immediately can you add value to your clients by having a device like that, right? So we had an inspection earlier this year, and you know, we found some things we want to share with our clients. So traditionally you would call the client and say, hey, we found something. He would say, can you send me a couple of pictures or maybe a video? But in this case, what we could tell the client is, hey, are you behind your desk? And he said, yes, why? We'll send you a link, and you can basically log into the inspection device and follow the inspection live. So we can show you exactly what we see at that very moment. So this is kind of an example of low-hanging fruit, if you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a device available, and it's on the market, and you just purchase it. And it's kind of taking advantage of, you know, connectivity and the Internet of Things already, in a way. We're working in Florida, it's in our accounting system already. So our banking and accounting system should be able to connect, and those charges would be automatically put on that project, right? Instead of somebody putting an expense report and manual process that. So maybe that's another thing of looking at it. You know, you can look at your internal processes and, you know, make use of the technologies and connecting the different systems you have.
I like both of those examples. I can relate a little bit, you know, with the connectivity that you were talking about before, where you see the information live. You know, I was going to ask you as a follow-up question, is there a possibility of live data streaming? So I might as well get to it right now, because before you answer, I'm sure a lot of our audience have had this experience, but I went to a car dealer to have my vehicle repaired, and they used that immediate connectivity. When the technician was working on it, they streamed live the video of the areas that he was looking at. And I heard it firsthand from the technician what he was seeing then and there. And it brought me into the process that made it so much different than coming back a few hours later and a service advisor telling me something. You know, there was something about it being live and seeing the, you know, what the technician saw at the same time. And, you know, later I asked the service advisor about this use of technology, and he was telling me at the time their internal processes had been transformed because it actually made their job a lot easier. So, you know, coincidentally, you just connected on two things from another industry that perhaps could apply to NDE 4.0 in running an actual inspection company. What are your thoughts?
No, that is actually a great example. And I think, you know, we could improve our offerings to our clients tremendously by connecting those dots. You know, maybe the thing I'm thinking of kind of offhand is we had this project in the spring last year for a nuclear power plant, and the schedule was very, very critical. So the inspection itself is called a borasonic inspection. You know, just to kind of summarize it, we would inspect the generator rotor forging by using a mechanical scanner, and we would move the mechanical scanner with ultrasonic probes through the forging, through the bore of the forging of the generator, collecting the data, the ultrasonic data. So traditionally what we would do is we would scan and collect all the data, then send the data offsite for data filtering, so just see what's relevant, what's not relevant, then do our assessment of the data, you know, an engineering evaluation, and provide the client with kind of the feedback on next inspection interval or, you know, how many operating hours it still can run. So schedule was tight, so we first were accomplishing our scanning, then sent the data offsite, then did the modeling, and then came back with the assessment. What if we can do that simultaneously, right? So you stream your data as you acquire it, right? It goes directly to the engineer offsite, start filtering the data, you know, filtering relevant, unrelevant, and you already start. So by streamlining that data, that's a tremendous time gain, and you get your client a faster answer, you know, the relevant question they have.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Do you see the creation of any new services or perhaps revenue streams with the evolution of NDE 4.0?
I do, absolutely. I think, you know, I give you the examples of, you know, low-hanging fruit of equipment that's on the market you can buy. The second one is, you know, looking into the processes you do and automate those and make those smarter. But the third one is new service development. I think that is a real game changer, but it's also the more difficult one to really put your fingers on, right? So, and I think, you know, as a company and companies in general, what you really start probably doing is kind of define for yourself what this means, right? It's kind of, you need to create a roadmap. I mean, the opportunities are tremendous, but how do you really drill this down to, you know, what are your clients' needs? What are the future needs? How can you anticipate that? So you kind of have to look at yourself and your business, you know? Why are you in business? What's your purpose? What's your market look like, you know, now and the coming years, right? Look at your processes. Can you anticipate, you know, what your client needs will be 5 years from now and connecting all those dots? Do you still have the same clients as you have now? Because your clients are facing tremendous changes as well. You know, look at business 4.0, right? The way we do business now versus how we maybe should do business in the future. And you know, we tend to purchase hardware now but maybe leasing is much better because technology changed so fast, right? So you can look at all those things. So what we kind of created for ourselves was, you know, try to look 5 years ahead, and we say, okay, you know, 5 years from now, three angles, how do we do business and how does our market look like? And we came up kind of with some bullet points to work from. I can give you a couple of examples. So we say, you know, 5 years from now, probably our systems all will be connected, you know, streamlining, mm-hmm. talking to each other, using the Internet of Things, and maybe we have digital twins that we can compare data with right away. You know, I think automated and robotic inspections will be really a core part of what we do. And though we're still doing hands-on inspections, maybe we start making use of sensors and remote monitoring technology. And then, of course, all our internal processes, you know, should be connected and you know, just the way we mm-hmm. do our business. But in a nutshell, how we can transform our business. And that's, if you do that, you can kind of come up with other, you know, potentially service offerings making use of NDE 4.0. In our industry, wind and solar that's coming into the mix. So what can we do there, which we currently haven't done mm-hmm. yet?
Oh, that's true. You know, the alternative energy is a whole another topic, perhaps. You know, to the point you made about creating a roadmap, is that something you guys have ever done with your customers in terms of what their future needs are? And or do you think that might be a possibility in terms of getting to NDE 4.0 and what it means from their perspective, as well as how to provide them new or better services?
No, that is actually a great point. We have not done that yet, right? So we do participate in industry mm-hmm. conferences, and probably be a topic you can address, right? Where, you know, there's a couple of conferences where power plant owners and operators come together and they talk about their inspection needs on those conferences. Mm-hmm. But that would be a great to kind of address it in a plenary session to discuss. So we have not really done it structurally on like, you know, let's solicit this information from our client and put some structure around it. But that would be very valuable. We did it more internally first, look at ourselves first, and that's kind of how we came up with an internal roadmap. But you're absolutely right. That should be done the other way around as well.
Yeah, it just came to mind based on what you were talking about, particularly early on with the live data. And we haven't spoken a lot about, you know, feeding data to each other, but obviously a platform in which data can be routed and yeah. streamlined, you know, the whole handling of data, you know, from system to system per se, rather than that intermediary set of steps that we seem to take today. That's where that thought came from.
Correct, yeah.
Speaking of workflows, tell us about how automating content workflows will improve inspections and specifically the reports that the technicians are generating there at the power plants.
Yeah, that is a very good question in this setting as well. So you know, I think for a lot of companies, this is probably still a very manual process with a lot of data entry points, mm-hmm. right? So in your contract, mm-hmm. that has to it somehow to a task or, you know, an information sheet to your technicians, and they will then use that information, how to inspect, which procedure to use, and that information then goes also again in your reports, right? So how can you get your hands around that process and automate it? And I think there's a lot to gain there. You know, some of the reports we generate for our customers are like 300 pages, and they have like hundreds of pictures in that. So if you can think about sending your You create a workflow system where your technician or technicians go to sites, they know exactly what needs to be inspected, which procedure to use. That's already fed into the reporting section of that as well. Maybe they have a handheld device. They start feeding the information mm-hmm. as they start taking pictures, which will put in place already in the right spots in your templated report format, right? So all these things that would tremendously, you know, speed up your reporting process and the chances of making errors and data entry errors will be reduced as well. Yeah, that's a great opportunity. We've been thinking about, you know, could we develop an app even that our clients could track the progress of an inspection? Well, think about it. You know,
real time.
Major yeah. of a new plant, you have to inspect, you know, a lot of parts, and at the end of the day, the project manager will be asked, you know, what's the progress? What are the initial results? You can create an app while they're working on their handheld. The client can log into the app and see, hey, so many inspections has been done, some initial findings already reported. You know, it gives them a lot of value as well, I think.
I like that comment and thought, because we want to, nobody likes to be blind, you know, we like to see progress and or perhaps issues that one encounters that we may not be aware of, and it just could be a communication walk up. But certainly real-time access, perhaps even internally, you know, seeing your supervisor, seeing the progress your crews are making at a facility relative to the set work plan, that maybe have some profitability factors built into being, you know, at certain point at a certain time. And certainly, as you say, for your end user to see that, it keeps everybody informed. It may actually save quite a few phone calls and emails going back and forth.
No, a good point, especially also for the product management perspective. You got your boots on the ground who communicate with their, you know, peers on the client side. But, you know, in the office, we get our phone calls from sometimes higher up, say, what's going on here? What's the progress there, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to combine that in one tool and that everybody's on the same page. That would be tremendous, right? That, I think that's a great opportunity there.
So in the beginning of that last question, you talked about a possibly 300-page report loaded with images, and I think about our world today in our COVID environment, and one struggle is bandwidth, of course. Yeah. Like us doing this conference call or podcast today from our homes. I didn't expect that a couple of months ago. But nevertheless, what are your thoughts? And I can't help but asking, you know, at this time in our life, but has the COVID-19 situation changed the way, you know, companies should think about NDE 4.0 specifically?
You know, I think yes. You know, we were already on the road to change, right? I think the technology is there and all the developments are in place, but I think COVID-19 mm-hmm. might be the catalyst to speed processes up, right? And that's kind of how I look at it. You know, I give you an example. We support nuclear power plant outages. During the COVID-19 situation, they were really worried about, of course, you know, with a lot of people on their site, that people might be infected by that, right? So they start sure. to kind yeah. of spread out the number of people that do their in-processing prior to starting the work, you know, probably change the way they do the security gates before you enter the plant. So I think we should anticipate, even from our clients, you know, instead of using 1,000 contractors for an audit, they want to reduce that probably to 500 as an example, right? Mm-hmm. So for us, we anticipate, hey, at Three Angles, you normally send me 4 guys for this inspection. I want you to send only 2, but I still want you to do it in the same time, the same quality and probability of detection. Can you do that, right? You start anticipating that. And how do we do that? Can we use now the components of NDE 4.0 to make that happen? So that was just one example I'm thinking about. Think about level 1 and level 2 technicians who, as of now, have never worked from home. I mean, we come back from our projects, we come back to the office environment, we work on equipment maintenance, on, you know, hands-on stuff in the shop, but now we have to work from home. They have never done that before. So I have calls with them in the morning now and try to give them direction what they can do from home. And that changes their perspective as well. So I think it's really a catalyst of changes that probably were upon us anyways, but it will be implemented maybe much faster. You know, another thing I thought about was clients, especially in the power industry, are pretty conservative in implementing new technology and changes. That has sure. to change maybe well. So they might be more adaptable to new ways of inspecting parts.
It kind of comes back to what we were just talking about is, you know, the customers being pulled into the same conversation about new ways of doing things or new services that would be offered from companies. Yep. Nothing like a common situation to, you know, put us together to brainstorm new ways of doing things.
You know, I think if you look through history, probably innovation kind of exponentially grows in crisis situations. It might be wars, it might be, you know, the situation we're in now. I mean, see how many companies taking use of technology now to change their business operation. I needed to grab something from a store this weekend. I felt like, hey, normally you walk to the store, you know, online mm-hmm. it would be full delivery time of 5 weeks, but they offered really curbside service, right? You order it
right
through, and you can pick it up at 30 minutes later. They changed their business model rapidly just by accommodating their clients because they want to keep making money and generate revenues, of course.
And for safety and regulatory factors, I would comment on that too, because I just went and did the grocery shopping with online, and then I did the pickup, right, as you were talking about. So I did it for the first time. You know, interestingly, of course, that's been out there for some time. So maybe there's two ways. There's the innovation and there's adoption from laggards like myself of using new technology, because I experienced it and I thought it was an awesome process. And I said to myself, like, why do I go to the grocery store anymore? You know, COVID or not, this seemed like a really good process. So I think it's going to drive us together as an industry, you know, us as inspection companies to the end users or the owners, operators, energy operators, you know, adopt, innovate and adopt. Certainly interesting times. So we've covered a lot.
There's like this curve. The exponential growth of technology versus adaptability of people, and that gap is actually growing, right? So until now, maybe COVID-19 helps us to bridge that gap, because people are all of a sudden need to be more adaptable to use new technology.
How true. I learned my lesson, I can tell you that. So we've covered a lot here, and you know, from starting with, you know, what's NDE 4.0 mean to companies, not just our industry, but we kind of came back to industries that include companies and suppliers, instrument suppliers to operators. And it really means a lot, from connectivity to changing internal processes, adding value through different workflows that include content, and coming up with new services based on adapting as well as innovation. And certainly COVID is driving that, you know, perhaps in a little more accelerated fashion than we had hoped for. But it's been an excellent conversation, Yo. How can, and we'll put this information on our podcast, but how can our audience best reach you afterwards if they want to find out more?
No, absolutely. Happy to provide it. And thanks for the opportunity again to be part of this podcast series. I really enjoyed our conversation. So I'm on LinkedIn. So if you can, you know, kind of spell my name, you can find me there. But maybe easier is really to look at our website, threeanglesndt.com. So number 3ANGLESNDT.com. And you can find, you know, company emails and phone numbers there as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights and your time today. Very much appreciated, Yo. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce.
For more expert views on NDT, subscribe to the Floodlight Software blog at floodlightsoft.com.